Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in May 2nd, 2025. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. I am at home from my basement studio, which is really just my laptop and a Comrex on a desk. Danny is in our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard, and we're excited to tell you that we got a juicy show planned for you today on this Friday. Kenyon McDuffie, D.C. Council member at 3. He'll be the fourth council member, plus the mayor, that we've had on this week. So we've had this story covered, RFK 2.0, stadium in D.C., all angles for you on Grant and Danny. And the Capitals are getting ready to play the Canes, round two. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who was the only player singled out by Spencer Carberry in the post-game address in the locker room after the Caps finished off the Canadiens. He said that Van Riemsdyk was a gem in the series and hadn't gotten enough credit and wanted to single him out for his teammates. We will talk to TVR, who was excellent on the blue line defensively, coming up at 3:30 on The Fan. Danny, we've also got tickets we're giving away at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock today to Old Glory DC Rugby. So people need to make sure they are listening at those times if they want a pair of tickets to go check out rugby this weekend. How are you, sir?
I am very well, my friend. Gorgeous day outside. The pollen count is up. So I was outside for a few moments, and it felt like I was just getting smacked in the face with it. My eyes got all puffy. My sinuses started hurting. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back inside, wash the old face, put my feet up until it's time to come see my pal Grant Harrison Paulson. But yeah, doing well, man.
I've got a daddy-daughter ball tonight.
Yes, you do.
So with all due respect to my pal Danny Rue, this is a...
I'm coming in second today. No problem.
What is a once-every-2-years event? Is it semi-annual?
Now, you see, this is the thing I always have so much trouble with. Is semi-annual twice a year? Is biannual twice a year? I don't know the
answer. Oh, it's one of those, isn't it? It's either bi or semi.
Semi-monthly, is it every other month? Does that mean twice a month? Bi-monthly is every 2 months, I think.
So in 2023, the year of our Lord, I took my daughter on a day much like this one to a daddy-daughter ball. And we rode a horseback carriage and we did the whole thing. She got all dolled up. I got all dolled up. And it was the cutest, best thing ever. And I was looking at those pictures today and trying not to cry because she looks nothing like she did then. But 2 years later, we are running it back and doing it again. So I will bail for the end of the program, and I'll apologize in advance. But every 2 years, I might have to do that for the daddy-daughter ball, as long as she will allow me to accompany her to said event.
First of all, that's so cool. But second of all, like, who's putting it on? You don't have to, like, give, like, the exact location or anything. I'm just saying, like, I got nobody else in my sphere. I know a lot of dudes with daughters, and I don't have anybody else doing this, so I think it's cool.
Right. So there's this really cool place that does events like this. This is like their formal big thing, but they do all – I mean, any day of the week that you go in there and they teach, like, manners classes for kids or little dance classes or whatever. And so their whole business is events and a lot of times based on wanting to be a princess or whatever Disney movie's out or what have you. Mm-hmm. And so this is there's probably more to it. I don't have all the details, but this one crosses my desk if I could.
Yeah, you signed up for this one.
Exactly, and this is the one that I take Reagan to. So we're going to have a good old time. But it'll be a poor horse is going to have to pull your boy around Falls Church tonight.
Yeah, there
so
we go.
I hope that horse is ready for an assignment.
Hopefully got some good rest, some protein this morning. Now, answer me. You said they do classes, like manners and stuff.
Yeah.
Do they teach boys in between age 6 and 12 how to not grunt and answer questions with more than one syllable? Do they
may.
That?
I'll have to ask.
For that class.
I'll see what day you can sign up for that.
So my oldest had a field trip today, which is awesome. They went to the Museum of Natural History. Phenomenal. Love that. Love that the school's doing
that. Bones and animals and stuffed things. That's a great museum.
Yeah, if I could have done it, I would have, but I got to come see you and got to do the show. So just timing wouldn't have worked. He drove me crazy. He wore socks and slides.
Oh, you can't do that.
In general, you cannot do that. Unless you are literally throwing something out, right? Like you're taking, like your wife goes, take out the trash when you're about to like relax. You just grab your slides with the socks on, just shuffle to the garbage can outside and shuffle right back inside. You're going to get your paper, maybe the mail, maybe you hope nobody sees you go to the garage, but whatever. Not to walk in downtown D.C., not to walk about the Natural History Museum and slow everybody down and drag them. And so when he ducked out the door before my 7-year-old and I did, and I didn't see what he was wearing on his feet. And we get there to drop off. He's a minute ahead of me. I go, are you wearing flip-flops? You're wearing sandals? Whatever you call them, slides? And he's in front of his friend, so he's like, shut up. I don't even care. Just leave me alone. Fine. Enraging. You made a terrible decision, and I want to tell you that it was a terrible decision. But you enjoy it. You enjoy sore feet, being tired, having those things come off a million times, and ruining the group for everybody else. You enjoy that.
I like that you're worried about the practicality of what he's wearing. I'm just talking about the breaking of a rule.
Oh,
that's a faux pas.
You
can't wear socks with slides, man.
Come on.
That's just not how it works.
Of course. I think there are the rare exceptions. Like I did it last night, in fact, where I've got socks on. I'm at home. I'm inside. And I'm literally asked, you take out the trash.
No, but that's not the same. I mean, I'll do that.
And that's like, my point. And like that's the only
just to
time.
Be nice to my neighbors, I'll try to throw on a shirt while I'm doing that. You know what I
yeah.
mean? That could be like I live close enough to people that I'm not going to walk out with a T-shirt and boxers. But I've got to convince myself mm-hmm. not to. When you're throwing something in the trash can at the, you know, your driveway is probably a lot longer than mine, but 15 feet from your front door for me. It's a pretty quick little – I could toss it from the steps, essentially. What you're wearing is irrelevant. You're going to look like a maniac. You know, if the paparazzi catches you,
sure,
you're one
yeah.
of those celebrity. You're Adam Sandler who looks like a goof all the time. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about planning for a day where you're wearing something.
FYI, I just received a text message from our very own Tobias Altizer. I'm going to read it to you now live on air. Here's what it says, and I quote, I'm wearing socks and slides right now.
No, I wasn't going to throw him under the bus. He did it yesterday, too. He does it a lot.
It's a young person thing.
It's a regular thing for him. At our place of work, there's multiple people who do it. It's still unacceptable and silly looking, but who am I to tell them what to wear? I want them to be comfortable in their place of work. We're trying to build a culture on the Grant and Danny radio program of comfort and acceptance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we want to be welcoming. So I was thinking about Toby the entire time we were talking about this because he loves doing this. But he's not alone. He's the poster child in the face of this operation. But I'd say there's 4 or 5 people at work that do this incorrectly.
So, Tobes, when you go to HR, are we slide shaming? Is that something Grant and I are doing?
Yeah, I think that is what's going on right now. But to be honest, I know when it comes to our workplace, it's not like we have dress codes. Like, people aren't showing up in collared shirts all
That's
the time.
True, yeah.
But my level of decorum is you're not going to see my bare feet out. I'm going to wear socks to work. That's my one little line. So would I wear socks with slides generally if I'm just going out to run errands? Probably not. Am I going to do it to work? Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. So I've always taken, because I see you in socks and slides frequently at work, I have always taken that to mean you just think that that's an okay thing to do and you do it in your life all the time. That is you kind of leveling up for work, essentially.
Yeah, that's me dressing up, putting socks on.
It's dressing up, yeah.
That's you not wanting to go full Mullins, where you're just wearing slides with your bare feet out, walking around barefoot in the office.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
Okay, understood. I mean, to me, Danny, if that is the case, and now we're getting into a critiquing of Toby that I didn't want to welcome,
mm-hmm.
but frankly, he sent the text.
Yep.
So here we are.
I didn't text myself, you know?
I think what he's saying, I can't wear these slides and show my feet at work, so I'm going to class it up and put on socks. And for me, the actual move is to say, I can't wear these slides and show my feet at work, so I can't wear slides at work. Gotta wear shoes.
See, that's the
escalator. Going to work, right. Gotta put on shoes.
Right. That's the extra part. Now, if you're doing a show at home, or you know that it's like a 4th of July themed barbecue to come, or you're doing the show from the pool or something, like we're on location, you know, you could throw the flip-flops on.
You don't know what I'm wearing on my feet right now.
You're wearing slides?
I'm wearing slides.
Yeah.
Sockless slides, yeah. Sitting in my basement, talking to Danny Huhey and Toby Altizer right now.
No, I wear shoes to work for a million reasons. And it's not
which is a big deal, because you often wear like workout clothes. You're a big sweatpants to work guy.
Yeah.
You're a mesh gym shorts that you just ran in with like some type of t-shirt. Like you.
Yeah, if I don't have time to shower, I'll just come to work sweaty.
Exactly.
But I usually wear the shoes. So the reason I don't just wear one of the reasons I don't just wear flops or slides or whatever is like my toes are all kinds of banged up. So I actually understand Toby's point there. Like, my feet are gross as it is. I don't think anybody's feet are nice. Like,
but you don't want to put that evil on us to have to see your feet.
Right. Like, I don't know if I can even hold my foot up, but I can show you. I have one toenail that's like, it looks like Mr. Deeds' foot. You know what I'm talking about, Ryan? Like, it's so hideous and so gross. It doesn't hurt. It feels fine. But, like, there was an injury to it, and it still hasn't healed all the way. So it looks terrible. Like, it's the type of thing that's, like, a little bit embarrassing. So I'm not going to subject people to that. So I understand the sock pathology, but the difference between the two of us and Tobes, or any young person pretty much in general, as I'm generalizing, is you would go, okay, I need to wear socks, therefore I've got to wear shoes too.
Right. He's thinking,
and he's going, I got to wear socks, so I'm going to go ahead and just throw these slides on.
Yeah, he's saying, I can wear socks and slides, whereas you and I are going, as soon as socks are in the equation, slides have been ruled out. The two cannot coexist. And in his mind, he's going, I still have slides on the table. I've got shoes as an option as well. We'll go slides. But to me, socks disqualify slides. But I'm glad that it sounds like your son's going to be comfortable as he rolls around D.C.
Yo, I got a scouting report from one of the dads, my good buddy who's on the trip, and he's been complaining nonstop.
No way. That's funny. Well, it's a lesson learned.
So I just Ryan my toe there, by the way. And he's disgusted.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not there. More so than
you would not be able to handle it. What's worse, this toe or someone having any food on their face?
Well, I don't know what that toe looks like, but because it's a toe, I'm going to say the toe is like minus 140. Food on face, which is disgusting and appalling and stomach turning, probably like plus 120.
Ryan, how banged up is it?
I mean, his toe is disgusting.
It's like, disgusting.
It's purple. Yeah, like, imagine purple. Like blue cheese is already moldy as it is, but imagine blue cheese that is like even moldier and it's just like nasty and disgusting.
No. It's not a toe jam situation.
It's not a toe jam situation, but that's what it looks like.
We don't
it's
need
like
to be making people sick all over town.
No, I'm not making people sick over town. It's a nasty toe, Danny.
It's a nasty toe. As I said, it's a banged up toe. It's gross. You know how my big toes are oversized anyway. It's that one. The nail, like, long bruised and hurt, whatever, and it was like, it's permanent. So it's slowly but surely, as the nail grows out, the regular nail is coming back. It's now about 50-50. Wouldn't you say, Ryan?
Yeah.
50 regular nail, 50 the, like,
respectfully, I'm so tired of hearing about your toe. Yeah. I just don't want to. It's disgusting. With all due respect to your toe, you're gross.
I'm not trying to tell you it's not this. I literally opened up with the admission. Yeah.
But, I mean, you could keep talking about it. Just tell me when to come back.
So here's what happened with my toe.
No, I'm good on that. So Pat, who just tweeted us, he's listening to the program.
Socks and slides.
Yeah, he's got socks and slides.
What are we doing?
And I don't, like, I'm trying not to be mean because he's a nice guy, it seems like, and he listens to the program. This is the goofiest look I've ever seen.
Pat, you got
to
clean that up.
He doesn't just have slides, by the way. When I say slides, normally I'm thinking about there's one bar across the top.
Yeah, the single bar slide.
It could be a thick bar, but it's the top of the foot, like down toward the toes. Mm-hmm. At the end of the foot, you've got one bar. He's going two bar, like Jesus sandal slides.
Yeah, these are sandals.
With socks. This is the if I saw him in public, I'm not going to say anything, but I would go, what a goofy person.
Like, what else do you need from Walmart, sir? You know what I mean? Like, that's what it looks like. You can't, Pat. Again, respectfully.
Now, maybe Pat, his legs are large and hairy, so I'm going to assume he's not 7. But maybe he's a child. And if he's a child with a Twitter account who's driving right now with his foot on the brake pedal, then number one, you shouldn't be driving, young man. And number two, it's okay that you're doing that because you don't know any better. But assuming he's a grown-up who's driving, Pat, tighten it up. Like, what are we doing?
I also, and again, Pat's nice enough to share this with us, so I feel bad beating him up.
He opened up. Like, this is like a Reddit forum where you go, roast me. He sent us the photo of his legs and slides and socks.
Are we not going to talk about the mid-calf sock pulled up to go with all this? It's a mid-calf black sock into two-bar slides.
Yeah.
Everything about this is like morally wrong to me. I can't handle it.
I didn't even think about how tall the socks are.
Yeah.
But that's why it looks so – well, I should take that back. The reason it looks unacceptable is because it's socks into slides. But the fact that the sock is going up as high as shin guards would on a soccer pitch.
Yep.
Come on, man. Everything about this is wrong.
Yeah, it's not the high sock of a Lawrence Moten or the Keith Van Horn back in the day getting buckets on people where the sock almost went up to the knee. Or the ankle sock look that my generation knows and found it and understands how acceptable and correct it is. It's this weird mid-calf Ryan Clary length black sock into double bar slides.
Well, guess Pat's age. I mean, we don't know it, but I'm going to say he's got to be 23 to 26. There's just no way that someone over 30 has his socks that high with double bar slides on. Come on. Nobody's doing that.
That's a 25-year-old. That's a 25-year-old going about his business today.
John said, planning my lunch break around the beginning of your show today was a mistake. Yeah, I agree, John. And on behalf of the Grant and Danny radio program, we apologize for what was a very detailed analysis of Danny's disgusting toe.
Yeah, it was just a toe.
Has anybody created a Twitter account at Danny's toe yet?
Not yet.
It's only a matter of time.
Not yet, I said a few times, hoping someone would do it.
If our listeners are who I think they are, I'll get a tweet from Danny's toe in the next few minutes.
Now, do I need to give them a picture somehow to actually have the profile pic?
I hope not.
Yeah.
But that's up to you.
That's the internet's forever, dude. That'll be out there.
As much as your toe's a problem for you, I want to get to something that's been grinding my gears a little bit.
Go ahead.
Now, this is sports related. I hope you're okay with that on the Grant and Danny radio program. Danny, I still don't know when the Caps are going to play game one. And that's because nobody does.
The NHL's crushing this, by the way.
And that's because the Capitals don't know right now. They clinched the first round on Wednesday night. Wednesday. Carolina advanced the day before on Tuesday night. So as of 9:58 p.m. or whatever it was on Wednesday, we knew the matchup. Thursday was yesterday. We're now well into Friday. It seems like maybe they're waiting for tonight's game between Winnipeg and St. Louis in the Western Conference to figure out if they need a game Sunday or not. But potentially, the way I'm reading this, unless something trickles out during the show, we could find out late night tonight on Friday night that there's a home game on Sunday at Capital One Arena with 36 hours or whatever to spare. This is a joke.
Yes, it is.
What is the NHL doing? I understand you want TV ratings and you need them, and that's cool. At some point, though, the preparation of the hockey needs to matter. Now, the Capitals will tell you people are buying the tickets. They don't really care what day it is. They're going to have butts in seats. So from a business standpoint, I don't know that this is maybe the deal breaker that I would have thought. But the team has to get ready to play hockey. They had an optional skate today because you're not ramping up yet for a game that you don't know when it is. And Carolina has even been waiting a day longer. I just think this is so bungled.
100%.
What are we waiting for?
You already said it. It's the TV thing. But when you're a slave to that, you end up with these kinds of, as you said, bungled decisions. It's embarrassing, quite frankly, that they can't get this right. For example, I'm not going to be able to go. I've got a million things going on. But were I to buy a ticket hoping that it was Monday, I find out it's Sunday, I'm going, well, crap, my wife's birthday is this weekend, so now I can't. That sort of stuff happens. Real life happens to people. I understand playoff hockey's a huge deal, but my God, how could this be at this point? I understand that a lot of the series, or a couple of series, I guess now, are not wrapped up. This is one of those cost of doing business type situations where you have to look like you're on top of it. You have to look like you know what you're doing, even if you don't, right? Let us complain that round two's already started. One of the round one games is still in game seven. That ain't right. This is worse. This, we'll see. And the fact that the teams don't know, even if it hasn't been announced yet.
Right.
Right? That's the part that's even worse. As fans, we should know. Obviously, you want people to in on your product. Please let people plan accordingly. But for the teams not to have any real indication?
Well, I'll go further, right? So not only, Danny, do they not currently know when they're playing, which is a problem, but they could play Sunday, they could play Monday, or they could wait all the way till Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
All three are on the table. Think about the difference in preparation. Now, by the way, I kind of want to wait, even though the Caps will be rusty because the Canes will have waited for a full week at that point. And it's just more build up to pump up the crowd and excitement and people get lathered up and ready to go. But there's also part of me that just wants the game to be played and the puck to be dropped. But it's not like it's Sunday or Monday. What's the big deal? It could be Sunday, could be Monday, could be Tuesday. It's already Friday afternoon. Come on. By the way, I was on a radio station in Carolina today. I've known this guy for years and years. We crossed paths a long time ago, and we've kept in touch, and I go on his show in Carolina a bunch. His name's Adam Gold. He's down in Raleigh, and he's a huge Hurricanes fan and really good hockey mind, and he talks Canes all the time. So I went on his show. We were previewing the series, and I got to say, I actually regret my performance a little bit because for the first, I don't know, 10 to 12 minutes of a 14 or so minute hit, I just did what I normally do. I was press box pulsing. I played it so straight.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that he said that drew my ire and I pushed back on a little bit was he correctly acknowledged how good Tom Wilson is and how desperately every GM wants him, but he said he, you know, used to have this goonish behavior, and that word set me off a little bit. But at the very end of the interview, I don't know why I did it, but Grant Trolson came out.
Oh, no.
And I basically took off my press credential, and I put on a Brandon Duhaime sweater. And I just went in so unnecessarily. He was just being so nice the whole time. And after the fact, I'm like, was that too much? Like, I went from me to biz nasty, you know, just like yelling at
him.
What
did you do?
It's so awkward. So
did you text them afterwards? Like, hey, that's my bad.
I actually kind of did.
It escalated quickly.
Not to apologize as much as I said, hey, I hope that was okay. Just wanted to have a little fun and you know, get the juices flowing.
Mix it up a little bit for your listeners. Mix it up a little.
So what happened was, so we were talking about it. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's fine. And then he's like, so last thing, like, what's your prediction for the series? And then I was like, well, look, you know, Hurricanes fans and I have had at it most of the last couple of months. I made a comment I didn't like about Rod Brindamore, who's a complete goose on the bench and chirps players, and I can't stand how he acts. And he's like, oh, well, you're so wrong about that, but continue. And I'm like, no, he's a really good coach, and I can't stand how he acts. And then, I don't know if it was that moment, but it just kind of went. And I brought up the Warren Fogel dirty hit on TJ Oshie. Like I said, you know, ideally there will be no series-changing hits up 3-2 where Warren Fogel takes a cheap shot since he's not on the Canes anymore. And ideally your defenseman won't slam any of our players' heads on the ice unnecessarily. And he's like, oh, well, Connor McMichael shouldn't have picked the fight. You know, that happens. And I said, that's true. He should have gotten beaten up the way that you get beat up, but you can't slam someone's head on the ice. And then I brought up how Brandon Duhaime beat the ass of the player who did it, so everything's fine. And it was just very much all of a sudden combative, and I was like a Caps fan calling in. And so it just happened very quickly. It escalated. I don't know what happened. And I just kind of looked up, and there was blood everywhere. But hopefully, I got to have him on the show now and just let him reciprocate a little bit,
oh,
I think.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Like, but he's a buddy of mine, so I think we're fine. But, I mean, Canes fans, when they hear it, oh, they're going to be so upset.
Well,
just a guest in their house who's just helping myself to their food.
Because it's not the first 12, 13 minutes of the interview that's getting played over and over again. It's
exactly.
Like the clip that's going to make the rounds down there is the trolling part. I hate Rod Brindamore. Please don't slam people's heads on the ice. Warren Fogel's a cheap bleep, bleep, bleep.
Oh, I literally said, don't worry, though. Brandon Duhaime already beat his ass, so we're even. Like, that was my last comment. I mean, that's tough. You know, like, this was not press box pulsing. But this happens with hockey. I can't help myself. The hockey playoffs just bring this maniac out of
it's
me.
It's your last bastion of true fandom is hockey. Every other sport having you covered has kind of taken some of that away, morphed your persona. For this one, you got your pom-poms.
City Tap House next week, whenever the games are. I'd love to be able to promote when we'll be there, but we don't know yet because the NHL won't tell us when the games are. But whenever there's a weekday game next week, hopefully Monday, Wednesday, so we have two nights out at City Tap House. But if it's just Tuesday, whatever, if it's Tuesday, Thursday, before the games, if you've got tickets to games 1 and 2, which will be at Capital One Arena, we know that, we will be at City Tap House. And we'll be breaking the series down all week long. Here on 106.7 The Fan, all your Caps playoff coverage is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. 25 years, Ace Trim, a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. Ace Trim, the home builders trade partner. Do the Commanders need a running back or an edge more ahead of training camp? And who's still out there? We'll look into that next on The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. D.C. Council member Kenyon McDuffie joins the show at 3 o'clock in 30 minutes. And in 1 hour at 3:30, Caps defenseman Trevor Van Riemsdyk, as Washington gets ready for the second round. They are underdogs going into their series despite having home ice advantage against the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina, most sports books have them around minus 150, Caps about plus 130 to win this series. So we'll talk to TVR about the matchup in about an hour. Remember, at 3 and 4 today, you can get tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby here on Grant and Danny. I've heard people saying both that Washington needs to sign an edge and that the Commanders need to sign a running back before training camp. So I thought, Danny, we could dive into both of those things here and just look at who's available, see if there's actually any options that we like. So starting with running back, I got to say the market is barren when it comes to the thing that we've been saying we want, which is speed and somebody who's shifty and complements or fits on first and second down that can kind of make big plays and possibly hit a home run or two. That guy's not out there. Your best available running backs based on money made last year, Jamal Williams, who's 30, coming off of a run with the Saints, Gus Edwards, who was with the Ravens and the Chargers, who's a power back, who's 30, goal line guy, Jeff Wilson, who's had all kinds of injury issues in Miami, he's 29, Nick Chubb is intriguing to me because he's been so good when healthy, he's now 29 years old. And then a couple of guys I've liked throughout their career that are pass-catching backs, Nyheim Hines, Amir Abdullah among them. But I'm looking for the speedy back that you and I wanted this offseason, and that guy just isn't in free agency right now.
It's not there. They're good players, productive players. Every time Gus Edwards has gotten the football consistently, he's kind of like an Alfred Morris-type character, right? Nothing sexy about it. He's thumping. He's going downhill. J.K. Dobbins is a free agent. Every time
he's more injury prone than Nick Chubb.
I was gonna say,
but at least he's young. He's 26.
I know. It seems like he's 50 because he's you've heard so much about him and the constant injuries, et cetera. Had a really nice season last year, but that's not something I can bank on. Now, it wouldn't break the bank to bring him in and just to see. But again, that the guy that you and I are talking about is not in free agency, I don't think. And that's kind of the deal. The speed back, that's a draft thing to me. Because what happens is you get into the league and you get banged up. You get beat up. You get hit. It's the nature of the position. You are, when you come in the league as a slightly undersized scat back, pass catcher, whatever, you got to pass pro. You got to deal with punishment. You're going to have the normal slate of nagging injuries that beset running backs and the occasional super mutant, an Adrian Peterson or a Derrick Henry's immune to it. But the rest of the mortals, it wears you down and you're no longer that guy. It doesn't take very long for that to happen, too. So to me, I don't know that answer is in free agency right now.
Yeah, it's easy to say they got to go sign a running back, but of the options that are actually available, nothing's all that interesting. Doesn't mean I wouldn't do it, but my expectations would be tempered and frankly, just minuscule. And to your point on getting banged up and losing some of the speed, the guys that are available, the injury histories, they are long.
Oh, yeah.
Sheets of information. I mean, Nick Chubb, you mentioned J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, who had a couple of Achilles, I'm pretty sure. Maybe one was an ACL, but he is only 25, about to be 26, been in the league for 5 years. That's a name I might roll the dice on. He was like a 4.48 guy, but it's mostly 4.5, 4.6, 40-time running backs. If you were going to sign one of these guys, who would you bring in to compete in training camp and try to catch lightning in a bottle from?
Jeff Wilson's the name that comes to mind for me. Part of that rotation in Miami where he's been added and dropped 17,000 times by everybody's fantasy team because, you know, one guy got hurt, Mostert gets hurt, and then maybe he gets a chance. He's caught some passes in the past I don't think would break the bank. But again, this is a flyer. I don't see him supplanting anybody that they would have, but a guy that I think at times has displayed a little bit of a burst.
I get it. He was a 4.6 40 guy before the draft, which is about as slow as
you'll
see.
Which, by the way, is a long time ago because he's been in the league for 6 years.
Yeah. Now, it might have been a bad 40 time. He might be faster than that, but I'll bet you he's not anymore. Nick Chubb at the right price I actually would have interest in because I think at his ceiling he would be better than Brian Robinson on first and second down. And he only made, what, $2.3 million or so this past year, coming off a pretty serious injury. So maybe at 29 you could get him at a Eckler-like rate and just say, hey, we're going to give you some carries on first and second down to try to keep your career alive. I'm not overly interested. I guess if you're going to hold me to the fire, I'd say either Chubb or if they wanted to go a little bit younger, maybe Akers with his injury history and see where that gets you. The conversation's not that different on the edge, although there are a lot more guys that have produced recently. They're older. You're bringing the baggage here is you're bringing in a really old player, probably. You know, Von Miller's 36 and is no longer the defensive player of the year that he once was. Matthew Judon's going to be 33 years old, is a couple of years removed from being an impactful player. Preston Smith is 32. His last couple of years with the Packers and the Steelers, respectively, he's been mostly non-existent. I like Za'Darius Smith the most of the expensive guys from last year that made $10+ million. He's going to be 33 this football season, but he's at least most recently helped and been a guy that looked like he could get you 10 sacks, maybe. I think there's more edges available maybe that might be able to pressure the quarterback than running backs, but they're older and there's plenty of baggage with these guys too.
100%. I mean, they're bigger names that you recognize. Right? Guys with a lot more deposits in the bank than the free agent running back.
That's
crop.
The way to put it. There's like more past stardom available.
Yeah. Von Miller's a Hall of Famer, probably, entering year 15. Matthew Judon has had some really big seasons. We know Preston Smith there. Za'Darius Smith has been a double digit sack guy. When you go down the list, Brandon Graham is on year 16 or 17, I think, who has been a thorn in our side for years. He's played for a couple different teams now. So I don't know. To me, there's nobody that's that exciting. Honestly, the guy that is the most intriguing to me is probably Preston Smith, which would be a little bit odd, but the circle of life, I suppose, right? Let him bounce around a little bit. I think he's big enough, long enough, pain in the butt enough to help set the edge a little bit. I don't think he's a world-class pass rusher. I think he's solid in that regard, but that's kind of what we're talking about here. This is the picked-over leftover is not a great marketplace for those guys. And now maybe Ty goes to Washington when it comes to culture, fit, place that you know, et cetera. But nobody would really be one of those, wow, I'm so excited. It's kind of, I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah, and to your point with Preston Smith, it was 8 sacks 2 years ago with the Packers, right? 4.5 sacks this past season as he started with Green Bay and finished in Pittsburgh, fell off a bunch. But I think he could help you against the run. And maybe that's now what they have to really prioritize and care more about anyway is, all right, there's nobody out there that's going to help us go get 10 sacks, so we don't need to try to chase a ghost. Who can get 5? Who can get consistent pressure one-on-one and maybe push the pocket a little bit on passing downs? And who's going to be actually helpful and a legitimate contributor against the run? And maybe Preston Smith with his length, could be that guy. I wouldn't hate that. And to your point, nobody here left in the organization really knows him all that well because it's all new people running everything. But as a fan base, we remember the player, the person he was, and he's a guy that'll fit in pretty well, I think, in this room. But let's open up the phones for you guys at 800-636-1067. If you were going to make one more solid veteran free agent addition, either a running back or an edge coming out of the draft where you weren't really able to address either to the extent that a lot of us were hoping, which would it be, and is there a name that we just threw out there that intrigues you? 800-636-1067 is the number. We've got Councilmember McDuffie at 3 from D.C. to talk about the stadium deal, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk of the Capitals at 3:30. This is Grant and Danny. In less than 15 minutes, we'll talk to D.C. Councilmember Kenyon McDuffie, and at 3:30 today on Grant and Danny, Caps defenseman Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who was tremendous in a five-game series win over Montreal. We've been hearing folks discuss the running back and edge positions needing bolstering. If you could sign an edge or a running back, which would it be, and is there a name you like? We just threw a bunch of them out there for you. Top pass rushers based on resume would be Von Miller, Matthew Judon, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith. You know, those guys are all 32 or older, and in the case of Von Miller, he's 36. Running back-wise, there's just nothing there in terms of speed or explosiveness. It's mostly injury-riddled guys over the years or thumpers, and you've got a couple of those already. But names like Jamal Williams, Gus Edwards, Jeff Wilson, Nick Chubb, Nyheim Hines, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers. So what would you rather Washington address? That's the question. Let's go to the listener lines. Elijah is in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Elijah? How are you?
What's going on, fellas? Of the two, if I had to pick, I'm going to pick defensive end. And especially now with the cornerback room, I was saying to producer on the line, I think we have to go at this defensive end situation. Also thinking about protecting the edges on a corner, because if how many times do we see cornerbacks? How many times do we see cornerbacks giving guys free lunches to be able to run their routes? Which, timing wise, that is a different ball game. When you have guys on the perimeters, on the being able to get hands early to be able to disrupt that timing, now we can really look at our defensive line. So we had guys, not to rag on the guys, but we didn't know, we wasn't set at cornerback. And a good defensive end appreciates a guy who's going to be press man. Why do you think they're going to get these press man corners? It's like, wait a second here. There's another cog that has to be addressed before we talking about defensive line. If you really want to see your defensive line, you really want to see what they can do, truly, like who can do what, when you're protecting the edges, you have cornerbacks that are willing to put hands on guys early. I say, I grew up, we call it a hot potato. You don't grab. You pretend the receiver's jersey is glaring hot. No, you're not going to get in trouble for being hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, all the way up the field. And then those defensive ends, because a lot of times it was we would panic. If we don't panic, we'll give it an opportunity. No free lunch. And then the defensive, then you can go and get defensive ends that really can keen in. Guys can put their hands up because, okay, corner say, I'm going to stay home. Boom. Certain things. So I like Amos. You see how aggressive.
So it's a really good call. I want to jump in real quick. I appreciate you. Here's my problem with that. It's a smart call, and you're 100% right. But you're acting as if the corner situation is completely solved. And maybe it is. But if it is, Danny, that means Marshawn Lattimore is going to have a really good year, which I think is very much a question mark. He ranked 136 in passer rating allowed and 129 in reception allowed last year. Adam Peters and everyone else in the building is saying he wasn't healthy, he was chasing his tail, we know he's going to be better. But for what his vision that he was just selling to come to fruition means Lattimore's really good again. And then Amos is a rookie. Now, I loved the pick. I'm thrilled that they made it. I think he's going to be really good. But are we sure he's going to be great right away? That's not always the case with rookie corners. So if those are your two guys on the boundary, they're still both question marks. That's my only concern. If we're operating under the hypothetical that they're both awesome, then yes, that immediately improves your pass rush, and it's going to help you a ton.
They addressed it, but we don't know if it's solved yet. And that's with any position, by the way. When you don't have a track record, or in Lattimore's case, a recent track record of success, we do have a track record of oft-injured and not great play from when he was here and then his last a little bit in New Orleans. And a rookie, Jonathan Jones, comes over as well, who's maybe an option in case some of these things don't really work out initially, or is Sanders still going to be inside, outside, everything in between? They like some of the versatility there. So I'm hoping it's solved. And they did the right thing. They addressed the issue, right, where you go and we're going to get some bodies here and we're going to see what we do. You trust their scouting eye, but nobody bats 1,000. So to me, there's some counting. I don't want to say counting chickens. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it's one of those, we needed a corner. We got a corner, so we're good. Let's hold off slamming the gavel just yet.
Let's go to Leo in Falls Church on Grant and Danny. What's up, Leo? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good. Thanks for having me. I definitely think between running back and edge rusher, I think we'd be very prudent to go grab an edge rusher. A guy like Von Miller jumps out to me, and I was telling whoever screens us before we call in, I think he reminds me a lot of what a Ryan Kerrigan kind of brought to us when we had the young edge rushers and Sweat and Young. I think he can be a great presence down there. And I also think, when it comes to signing guys, you definitely want to sign guys who have that, playoff experience and that playoff tenure. And I think Von Miller could bring that to us. And, there's concerns about his age, obviously, but we've had a lot of, maybe not a lot, but we've had some very notable performances from older edge rushers. T.L.'s point, guys like Brandon Graham, performed really well later into their careers. Reggie White. I mean, I know those are, great names, but I'd put Von Miller up there with those guys in terms of where they rank among the greats. So won't get into it too much more, but thank you guys for taking the call. Definitely would put my eggs in the Von Miller bucket.
Appreciate you, buddy. I don't hate that, honestly. Now, again, the price has to make sense, and who knows if he would take a lot less to come here, but it would sort of fit their MO, honestly. It's that Bobby Wagner school of you already got the gold jacket whenever you're ready. You want to come here and be a leader? You want to come here and kind of find the fountain of youth with a bunch of kids that haven't really ever done it yet? Let's go do that.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at that route to say, hey, 1 year, your job, don't worry about anything else. When you're on the field, you get up that field and go after the passer. That wouldn't be crazy to me.
I do worry about his inability at this point, I'd imagine, and I haven't studied it close enough, but this is based both on PFF grades and just my own eyes. I don't think he helps you much against the run at this point. As you said, he's kind of a hired gun pass rusher. But I would have said the same about Dante Fowler. And that was a liability occasionally, right? It's not like you, as a pass rushing specialist, only are on the field ever for passing downs. Third and long, I got a pretty good indication. But there's plenty of passing downs where teams run it. So would I be interested in Von Miller? Yes. Do I love it? No. Not at 36 and not as bad as they were against the run last year. Kenyon McDuffie, a council member who we currently have in the yes pile of council members on the Stadium 2.0 over at the RFK site, is going to be joining us right here at the top of the hour. Trevor Van Riemsdyk of the Capitals at 3:30. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.